right, let's start with the NBA Finals, Rami. Tonight, Game 1, Nuggets, Heat. Now, they say the game will start at 5:30. We know that's not going to be the case.
No, the later the better, though.
We know that...
Catch it.
Yeah, that's true.
Right?
Yes. We know that because it's on ABC, like if it was on TNT, you'd actually have a pretty fair chance of it maybe starting around 5:30. Because they tip off really quick. Like, Eastern Conference Finals, it was like 5:33. Boom, tip off. But ESPN/ABC, they always take 15 minutes to yap. So, probably be about 5:45, this game's going to tip off. With that in mind, Rami, lots of predictions being made about this series. I am going to take the Nuggets in six. And it's not because I am disrespecting the Miami Heat. I respect the hell out of the Heat. I think they're fantastic. I think the story's been great. They've been playing great basketball. Beat Milwaukee in five. Beat the Celtics in seven. Caleb Martin and Gabe Vincent and Jimmy Butler and Bam Adebayo have all played the hero at different times during this postseason run. Coach Spoelstra's the best coach in the NBA. However, I think Denver has just a huge size advantage that they're going to take into this series, and Miami's going to have a tough time combating that, I do believe, with Kevin Love and Zellers of the world.
And that size advantage starts with the guy who should be back-to-back-to-back MVP in Nikola Jokic, Nick, and really that's where I started. You kind of deconstructed and went backwards from where I would start, which is, man, they just have the best player in this series, if not the entire league. And
even with playoff Jimmy.
Yes, even with, that's the one caveat. And I told you, like, to me, the path to a Miami Heat victory, or the recipe for a Miami Heat victory, is playoff Jimmy needs to show up for every single game, however many games that might be, like he did in the Bucks series.
Yeah.
He didn't do that as much in the Eastern Conference Finals. It was more of the others, of the Caleb Martins and the Gabe Vincents. You've been saying, and you're not the only one, Caleb Martin should have been the MVP.
Yes.
Of those Eastern Conference Finals. You're going to need both those things. You're going to need the perfect storm of both those things to happen, of playoff Jimmy and all the others to be performing at their peak performance and highest level that they can possibly perform at. And Eric Spoelstra is going to have to win the old coaching matchup with Michael Malone. That's how they win this thing. But, Nick, Eric Spoelstra is a genius. I just don't know that he has anything in his tool belt that's an answer to Nikola Jokic. I just don't see it there with the size that Miami has, or the lack thereof, the size that Miami has. And then you're not just talking about Jokic. You're talking about one of the biggest lineups and biggest rosters that's in this league when you're talking about the Denver Nuggets. I just don't think matchup-wise Miami has the answers for Nikola Jokic and the Denver Nuggets.
And with that size comes offensive versatility. And I think, you know, Denver's going to have the capability of attacking Miami in the paint. And look, if Miami answers that by clogging the paint and trying to close down those driving lanes, Denver can shoot. And if you're going to, you know, I don't think you're going to easily just play zone against Denver. They're going to be able to pick that apart with Jokic at the free throw line. I mean, it's a completely different matchup. And, you know, shout out to Miami, but Milwaukee is not necessarily a team that's going to just have somebody down there in the paint that can go to work. I mean, Lopez does it every once in a while, but Lopez is kind of a stretch the floor guy now. Mm-hmm. Giannis, yeah, he scores a lot in the paint, but he initiates the offense from the top. He's not a post up back to the basket kind of player, right? He's more of a I'm going to drive and take it to the hoop kind of player. And you know, against New York, you had a very uneven offensive team in New York. So I just think Denver, you know, and the Celtics, we covered that yesterday. The Celtics' identity crisis, they're way too reliant on the three. And, you know, they didn't take Game 3 seriously. And they, again, failed to execute in the final moments. We've seen none of that with Denver. Like, Denver has an unbelievable home court advantage. The Celtics just threw that away. Denver has much more offensive versatility than New York does. The way Milwaukee was shooting, they also have more versatility than Milwaukee does. So I just think this is a much tougher matchup. And when you look at the numbers, Rami brought this up earlier today, another big issue, not just Jokic and what he does, But also this Jokic Adebayo matchup has not gone the way of Bam Adebayo.
His own Bam Adebayo.
So this could be, you know, are you going to throw extra bodies? Well, if you throw extra bodies on Jokic, he's going to kill you because he's going to find the open man because he's such a good passer. And they got the Jamal Murray Jokic pick and roll. So I think, again, I'm not telling you Miami doesn't have a chance. Of course they do. They need their others to continue to shoot really well. They need Jimmy Butler to be playoff Butler. They need Bam Adebayo to be much better than he was in the final four or five games against the Celtics because he disappeared in that series. They need a lot of things to happen. Could they all happen? Well, they just did all happen against the Celtics. So, yes, they could all happen.
This might be crazy to say because they're the 8 seed and the Nuggets are the 1 seed and they have Nikola Jokic. I wouldn't be shocked if Miami won this series. Like a lot of people, and this is where I say there's some disrespect when it comes to the Miami Heat. And I know you get tired of the disrespect talk just because, and you're right, just because you're picking the Nuggets doesn't mean that you're disrespecting the Miami Heat. You're talking about a 1 seed in the West against an 8 seed in the East. And on paper, most people would look at it objectively and say better basketball team. The disrespect comes in for me when people don't give the Heat a chance or say, I don't see how the Heat win this series.
Yeah.
I wouldn't be shocked, maybe surprised, because I'm sitting here picking Nuggets in 7 as we get ready for game 1 to tip off. So, yeah, I can't say I wouldn't be surprised, but I wouldn't be shocked if Miami ended up winning this series. I'm done being shocked by Jimmy Butler and the Miami Heat in these playoffs. You know what I mean?
I tell you what I was surprised by. I was surprised by the 49ers who, you know, Coach Chris Forster came out today with the media. And, you know, we talk about votes of confidence all the time in sports. But Forster certainly really pushed for Colton McKivitz and Spencer Burford to be the guys at right tackle and right guard. Now, we all knew going into, you know, this camp season that those were the two guys that were the leaders in the clubhouse, so to speak. But Forster, you know, I don't want to say that he guaranteed the spots, but he certainly made it sound like this competition that we expected to happen is less a competition and just, hey, these guys, if they play okay, they're going to hold on to their spots. So there's a lot of confidence in McKivitz, a lot of confidence in Burford, which does surprise me, Rami, because when you look at McKivitz, he's played one meaningful game the last 2 years, and Burford was up and down last season, and he's somebody who did not block very well in the run game, which to me would seem to be the you know, secret sauce of Kyle Shanahan's offense, and with all these questions about the quarterback position. So I found it very interesting, and I found it surprising that Forster was, you know, as bullish on Burford and McKivitz as he was today.
And not just because, you know, you want to get it right at every position, Nick, right? In every sport, you want to get it right at every position. But we're talking about a team that has questions at quarterback, that has questions on whether or not their quarterbacks can stay healthy. And if they are healthy, what can they do at the NFL level lining up under center? Trey Lance has shown nothing at the NFL level. Sam Darnold has only underachieved at the NFL level and the expectations that were put on him when he came into the league.
Yeah.
Brock Purdy looked good, but for what, 8 games before you ended up with Josh Johnson? You can't keep quarterbacks healthy, and even if they can stay healthy, you want them upright and with plenty of space and time to work to be the best quarterbacks that they can be and grow into the type of quarterback that Kyle Shanahan and 49ers fans hope that he can be. But something else. Oh, never mind. I was going to make a point, but I just realized it's kind of a moot point. I'll keep it right there. You have questions at quarterback, and you're only compounding those questions at quarterback by creating questions in front of the quarterback on the right side of the line. It's risky. Can they pull this off? Yes. We can stop questioning if the 49ers can pull things off and make it work. They've made things work that nobody saw working. So can they do it? Yeah, sure, they can do it. But you're stacking questions on top of questions at some of the more important positions in this sport. It's risky. It's risky.
Yeah, I wouldn't be panicked if I were a Niners fan, but I would certainly have some concern about the right side of that line. Mm-hmm. And look, Trent Williams is the best tackle in the game, but he's also getting older. And, you know, he was questioning as serious as he was taking it. I don't know. But he did at least at the end of the year question whether or not he wanted to continue to play. But the right side, I mean, if one side of your line gets blown up, then you're in trouble. So, yeah, I would have some concern with the McKivitz-Burford combination on the right side. And hopefully they take a big step forward and there's no issue at all for the Niners this season. But we'll see. We'll see if that's what happens. So there you go. There's your top story on this Thursday, Cattles and Rami. 916-339-1140 is the text line. The phone number is 1-800-920-1140. You can always check us out, youtube.com, Sacktown Sports 1140. Give us that thumbs up. Always appreciated. And
thank you.
Yes, exactly. And don't forget that we also have a fantastic website, which the belated birthday boy, Joe Girose, helps with, and that is sacktownsports.com. I would suggest you check that out as well. Some really good work by the fellas and by others there on that site, sacktownsports.com. All right, with game one close, Rami has a question for Kings fans that he wants to ask. He will ask that question in 90 seconds.
Know that you can always count on me. For sure.
That's why I laid out. I was waiting for you to jump in.
That's what friends are for. Through good times and bad times, I'll be on your side forevermore.
I mean, the range on Rami is...
That's what friends are for.
Underappreciated.
Stevie on the harmonica, right?
Of course. That's Stevie right there.
Yeah, it is.
Shout out Dionne Warwick. She can tell the future.
What you shouting her out for?
She could see the future, and she was in on this song. Oh, wait.
I've loved the revival of Dionne Warwick. She's like the queen of Twitter now.
Yeah.
And I love it. It's outstanding.
I'm very, so I was watching this thing last night. We're going to get to the Rami's question in a minute that he asked for Kings fans. But mm-hmm. I was watching this Paul Simon special last night.
I love Paul Simon.
For a little while.
I saw Paul Simon in concert once.
It's great.
It's good. The band was amazing.
But there was this tribute. It wasn't Paul Simon up there. It was a tribute.
Okay.
Yeah, like the Jonas Brothers. No, I'm out on that. The Jonas Brothers doing Paul Simon, I was totally out on. But I bring this up because Stevie was on it.
Oh.
And one of my biggest life regrets is that I've never seen Stevie Wonder in concert.
I would love to see Stevie Wonder in concert.
And my scallywag brother went to go see Stevie Wonder and did not invite me.
Wow. Wow.
So, yes, Mark. My brother is one of the worst human beings walking the planet just
the
off of that.
Absolute worst.
You're the worst. You're the absolute worst.
Kelly and I had the signed seal delivered for the walk-in song at the reception.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah.
I like
signed
that.
Signed seal delivered.
That's a time you would have seen me dance.
Yours.
I was dancing all night at my wedding.
I doubt it.
Oh, I don't doubt that he danced. I doubt that he can dance. That's the question.
No respect.
Not that he's...
You are the absolute worst.
No respect.
Not that he's attempted it or would again attempt it someday, just whether or not it would be any good.
I check every year to see if Stevie's on tour, even though he hasn't toured since, like, 2015. I keep hope alive.
Where do we all stand
like
on
maybe
the,
he's going to miss it, and maybe he's just going to do it one more time.
Where do we all stand on the...
I'm ready to give my ass up to, like, money-wise to go see Stevie Wonder. I said money-wise.
Okay.
To go see Stevie. Like, financially, there is no obstacle. I would love to see that man in concert.
The Stevie can see conspiracy theory. Where do we all stand on that?
There is no conspiracy. What are you talking about?
Oh, there...
The man is blind.
Yeah.
There's a major conspiracy. A lot of people believe it.
Are you one of them?
Do you ever see the video of him catching the mic stand when Paul McCartney knocks it over? There's some big, like, all-star concert type of thing going on. And Paul McCartney is running across the stage, screaming, playing guitar. And he hits a microphone, and it falls over, and the microphone stand falls over. And Stevie just reaches out and grabs it. Just,
I think we know where Rami boom. Stands.
Just saying.
So behind this conspiracy theory, what would it be that Stevie is intentionally acting blind so he can have a tougher time living?
I don't know. I'm just saying.
Is that the idea?
There are clues out there that may lead one to believe.
Aren't there other ways to gain sympathy than fake being blind for 70 years?
It's a tall order. Yeah.
The man's 73 years old. Do you think he's been acting blind 73 years?
I'm not.
He's
saying
committed to the bit.
I'm not saying I believe it. I'm just saying that there is.
So how do I feel about it?
There's
I
a
feel
case
like
to be
crap.
Made. There's a case to be made.
Like most conspiracy theories, it's crap.
How do you catch the microphone?
That's how I. Dude, don't you know, like, blind people and deaf people and all that, they say that there's senses. Their senses are heightened.
You know, I worked with a blind man closely for many years.
Like, Stevie plays the drums. Did business. You know that? Have you ever seen Stevie play the drums?
He plays, like, every instrument. It's amazing. But,
He has to be, like, top five for me as far as music artists. Like,
yes.
He is.
Yeah, he's up there.
I am in love with Stevie Wonder.
Same here. This blind dude I worked with for a long time, he smoked cigarettes, and we were outside one day, and he finished his cigarette, and he flicked it up in the air, and then hit it with his cane.
Huh.
Like, hit the cigarette butt with his cane. And at that moment, I was like, can you see? Like, what?
And then he went golfing, and then it got really weird.
Are you Daredevil? What is going on here? How did that just happen? So you're right. They do. Yeah, you're right. They
do heightened senses.
Heightened senses, sure. Just saying, though.
Meanwhile, again, another tough segue today. So finals game one tonight, about to tip off. And Rami had a question this morning. Said,
I always ask myself this question.
Hey, why aren't the Kings playing tonight?
Why isn't your team playing? I always ask that question when we get to the chant. Because this is the measuring stick, right? This is where you want to be. This is who you measure yourself up against and say, that's where we want to get. That's who we want to be if you want to be a championship franchise. So that's just naturally where my mind always goes once we get to this point in any sports season. You know what I mean? I look at my team and I go, why aren't they there? What do these teams have that this team does not have? So that's just how my brain works, Nick. And when I look at these two teams, especially when it comes to the Miami Heat, they've got, well, first of all, consistent. They're hitting shots. They've got shooters, and the Kings just went completely cold in the playoffs and in that series against the Golden State.
You telling
Warriors.
Me that HB and Herter missed a couple shots?
Yeah, just a few. But the other thing that they have, you talked about the size of the Denver Nuggets.
Yeah.
You could also talk about the physicality of the Miami Heat, which a lot of people think is kind of what gives them a chance if they can muck things up a little bit.
Consistent defense.
I think yes. Physicality, defense, size. I mean, the whole league is looking for shooters and 3-point shooters. And that's part of what leads to playoff exits for a lot of these teams. We talked about the Celtics not being able to buy a three and just launching them one after the other. And they're not the first ones to meet their fate that way. But that's not going to change. Teams are going to keep on looking for 3-point shooters, and it's going to continue to be a huge part of the game. And we'll see more teams meet their end because they can't do anything but hit the three. And once it goes cold, it goes cold. But one of the things you can do to counteract that is be Miami-like, which is be a little bit more physical, be a little bit more nasty and aggressive and be able to muck a game up. I don't know that the Kings really have that. And Nick, JJ and I were talking while you were out. And when we saw Jokic do what he did, we both kind of had the same conclusion, which was it could have been ugly if the Kings got to the Western Conference Finals because they have absolutely no answer. We're talking about the Heat. The Kings would have absolutely zero answer for Nikola Jokic at the center position and around the basket. Just nothing. It might have gotten really, really ugly in the Western Conference Finals if the Kings could have gotten there.
Look, I think it comes down to a couple of words. One of them for me is discipline, and Miami is just incredibly disciplined. They know what they do well. They stay in their lane over and over and over and over again. And it might sound easy, but it's not. They are consistent because they are disciplined. So discipline is one big word.
Ooh, that's a good one.
Thank you. I would also say malleable. You know, like when you look at Denver, they have the ability to attack you in different ways. And not only do they attack you in different ways offensively, they can do it efficiently. And for the Kings, again, we're not going to just pour over stuff that we talked about an awful lot. But obviously, you know, the offense through Domas wasn't great against the Warriors. And the Warriors took advantage of Domas' selflessness. So that piece of the offense was kind of was pretty much missing. And that left them to rely on the three. And like we said, HB and Herter were missing tons of shots. So, you know, when you look at Denver, it just seems like they have a lot of different ways that they can beat you. I don't think Miami has that. Like, Miami is going to beat you playing Miami basketball.
Yeah.
They're going to try to impose their will on you. Denver, a little bit more flexibility, which is why I like them in the series. They could beat you in different ways. And I don't think the Kings had that this year. The Kings did not have the ability to always beat you in different ways. And even if they did have the ability, they didn't want to commit to it. They did not commit. We talked about it. They did not commit enough going after the Warriors defensively. They did not commit to the paint enough for me. So those are some of the things that stand out. But discipline's a huge one. And look, you're going to learn that. It was year one for the Kings. You know, part of this story is the fact that the Heat, they've played alongside each other for a bit. And as I said yesterday, you know, Spoelstra is the second longest tenured coach in the NBA. So that stuff, it does take time. You don't immediately parachute into an organization and bam, everything's perfect.
I mean, to do what he did in 1 year, when you talk about Mike Brown and the culture shift, is
significant enough.
We've talked about it plenty, but it's remarkable.
All right, so
Mike right there. That's what he brought to the table.
So Matt Barrows discusses the Niners in today's callback. That's coming up.
I'm going to light up these phone lines.
The phone is ringing.
And we are checking to see who's on the line.
Long-time listener, first-time caller.
News, gossip, a story.
Okay, who's the next victim?
It's the callback.
On Cattles and Rami.
All right, today on the Folsom Lake Hanna Hotline was our friend Matt Barrows from The Athletic. Of course, Matt covers the San Francisco 49ers for The Athletic. And we were talking about Chris Forrester and what he had to say about the right side of the offensive line earlier today. Sounded pretty bullish on both McKivitz and Burford. Here was Matt earlier today with us trying to clarify those comments from Forrester.
Yeah, I mean, I think what he's trying to say is he wants to send the message to these guys that, you know, just go out there and practice and don't worry about the competition. Because he realizes that, you know, there are going to be mistakes and it's not going to be perfect, especially in the spring. Obviously, you want to see it get a little bit better as you get into the summer and through the preseason and whatnot. But his point is it's just going to take a lot of reps, a lot of snaps with the first team in order for these guys to get good and that they shouldn't be looking behind them. And so I think that's what was sort of behind what he was saying.
That was Busta Rhymes accompanying our friend Matt Barrows. Busta's just always getting in the way. Like, Busta, we love you.
Just jumping in.
Come on.
Right.
I'm trying to do a radio show here. What's happening? I've shared my two cents on the offensive line on the right side, Rami, and you have too. Both of us kind of surprised that Forrester was pretty, as I said, bullish. Anointed's a good word. About that right side with the lack of experience and lack of productivity. But we've also talked about, Rami, how you know John Lynch and Kyle Shanahan have done a really good job at evaluating talent. And, you know, the roster, when you look at it in totality, 1 to 53, they do a pretty damn good job of putting a team together. They have taken risks at quarterback. And if you're one of those it's title or bust people, which to me I am, especially when you're as talented as the Niners have been, then they've busted at the quarterback position. But a lot of these other positions around the field, they've done a really good job.
Yeah, they have. And I do got to give them some benefit of the doubt, even when it comes to that position, Nick, and the questions that we have about the right side of the offensive line. You do have to give them some of that benefit of the doubt and at least feel somewhat confident that it'll work out, whether it's those guys or not, that they'll find the right guys and get that thing, if not right, at least to a place where it won't tank the whole season. You know what I mean?
Yeah. You would hope so. All right, let's get to the quarterback, since we've been talking about the QBs an awful lot. You know, when you look at Brock Purdy, John Lynch had said this week that he was incredibly encouraged after seeing Purdy throw the football for the first time. So Lynch all pumped and jacked about Purdy and his health. But how about the timeline? Again, here's our friend Matt Barrows about Purdy's timeline.
The fact that he was throwing yesterday, it's still May, when he had that surgery on March 10, they had circled, the 49ers had circled the first week in June. So I think it was next week that they had circled for, you know, the first time that he picks up a football and throws a football. So he's a little bit ahead of schedule in that regard. So, I mean, I think that's what's behind those encouraging words from John Lynch, that not only is he hitting all the marks so far, but he's slightly ahead of the game a bit. So, you know, if that continues to ring true, you know, we're talking at some point during training camp where he comes back and he's able to, you know, put the full uniform on and go through a full practice with this team.
Nick, how do you feel about all the chatter around the quarterback position in Brock Purdy with the 49ers?
Tied. Tired of the Brock Purdy talk. Man.
Ahead of schedule.
Wake me
Matt
up.
Matt Barrows just told us ahead of schedule. Why are you being the wet blanket here? Today is a positive show where everyone loves everyone and everything is great.
It's a 3-month rehab. We're in the first week of said 3-month rehab with him throwing the ball. So wake me up when he's ready to play. I'm not going to get wrapped up in every single little detail. Now, if he has some kind of, and hopefully this doesn't happen, but if he does have
some kind of setback,
then sure, it is worth talking about. But, you know, reports of how he looks.
You only want to talk about stuff when it's bad, when it's negative.
Because an NFL quarterback throwing the football with shorts and a t-shirt on doesn't mean much to me. Sorry. Doesn't mean much. We don't talk about batting practice, right? When we talk about, we're not talking about, oh, man, I'll tell you what, Kevin Herter was on a heater in the warm-up. Like, what are we doing?
I think this is very relevant.
When he's ready to play, then we'll talk about
it. Absolutely matters. He's not throwing towels anymore.
Tie it.
He could still be throwing towels. He's not. He's throwing footballs, and they're very encouraged by it. Very encouraged. Not just encouraged, Nick.
You sound encouraged.
I'm so encouraged. So encouraged.
All right. Again, Matt Barrows from The Athletic. He was on the Folsom Lake Honda hotline. Folsom Lake Honda is your one-stop Honda shop. Rami asked about the competitions that are happening, the competitions that we should be watching for here in camp, and hear what Barrows said.
Well, tight end is interesting. I mean, obviously there's one guy who's guaranteed a starting spot, George Kittle. And then, you know, for the last few years, it's been some fairly anonymous guys behind him, Charlie Warner and Ross Dwelly, and last year Tyler Croft. It's going to be interesting to see whether they're two draft picks, a third rounder, Cameron Latu, and then a seventh rounder, Braden Willis, whether they can sort of dislodge the two guys who are there right now. So it's not a glamour position, but it's a position that's going to get on the field quite a bit. And a lot if Kittle should have an injury. So that's a spot to watch. The other cornerback spot, Amador Lenore has looked really good so far in OTAs, and he's coming off a really strong playoff performance as well. But you know, towards the end of the season, that was a big question mark whether Lenore could be a starter, whether he was better suited to be a nickel cornerback or an outside guy. It seems like he's going to hold on to that spot, but there's a lot of jockeying behind them.
And look, when you build a team the way Lynch and Shanahan have built the team, we're talking about, as Barrows mentioned, depth pieces, you know, backup pieces for the most part. And that's because they've really knocked it out of the park with their, like, upper echelon talent that they've gone out and, like, Nick Bosa, obviously,
the cupboard
home
is
run.
Stocked.
Trent Williams, home run. Yep. Ayuk, when he's healthy, home run. Deebo Samuel, when healthy, home run. Obviously, traded for run CMC. Perfect fit. So they haven't been flawless. Javon Kinlaw, hello. They've swung and missed at the running back position roughly 12 times before they brought CMC in. But you know, they have done a really good job overall of building this team depth-wise. I have some questions on the offensive line. I have some questions on the defensive line, especially in the interior. Hargrave's going to obviously be the dude there. He's got to be healthy. He's got to be tremendous. But there are some questions there. Armstead has to stay healthy. He was banged up a lot last year. But overall, look, when we talk about the Niners right now, it's a lot of nitpicking. They're you know, roster-wise, on paper, quote-unquote, they're easily a top-five team in the NFC, and some would argue they're a top-five team in the NFL.
When you're talking about the size of NFL rosters, the size of starting offenses, starting defenses, you throw in nickelbacks and second tight ends, you're essentially talking about 25 or 26 starters, and I put that in air quotes, guys who are going to play starter-like snaps. And that's before you even get to special teams, Nick. There's going to be questions for every team, especially on June 1st and as we're going through OTAs. You know, every team has questions. I think, and for as much as, because it's what we do for a living, as much as we harp on some of these questions or raise some of these questions, fewer questions for the 49ers than there are for just about every other team in the NFL and their rosters and what their fan bases are wondering about right now. You should feel pretty good about this 49ers roster, but that doesn't mean perfect and confident in every single thing that they do. But as I've said a number of times today, there is some benefit of the doubt that comes with the type of success that they've had with roster building.
By the way,
yes, sir.
I will not be able to do a good enough job to explain the amount of anger that I might experience.
Why? What's going on?
Watching this final series, if the Miami Heat others miss shots,
after they couldn't miss throughout the Celtics.
Gabe
series.
Vincent just missed a wide open elbow jumper, and I already felt the fury. First shot of the series, I already felt it, and appreciate this.
I look forward to it.
ESPN, man, just trying to find ways to get more Stephen A. Smith on your TV. And Stephen A.'s world during
the
finals.
Has he cloned himself? I asked the same thing about Kevin Hart. These dudes are everywhere all at the same time.
He ain't sharing all that money.
I was watching a Cubs game.
Bam Adebayo, brick free throw line.
I was watching a Cubs game on MLB TV, and I swear to you, Kevin Hart was doing a commercial for a local liquor store. I was like, first of all, is there anything that Kevin Hart does not advertise? And secondly,
that's a little outrageous.
How good is the liquor store business in Chicago that they can afford Kevin Hart? It's wild.
More money.
Maybe he's a friend. You think he's got? Maybe it's like a family friend or something.
He's from Philly. I don't think he's not a Chicago guy. I don't know,
dude.
But it's crazy.
Are all of your friends in one area?
Yes, they are. Now that you ask,
he's from Philly. Well, Jimmy Butler's got the first 5 points for Miami, so he's ready.
There we go. He's hitting shots.
Everybody else is Brick City, USA. I'm telling you, I'm going to be infuriated if these guys miss shots.
Now I'm rooting for them to miss shots just so I can witness that.
Oh, my God. The amount of shots they hit in that series. Yeah. It's going to infuriate me. I was fine until right now. All right. Again, thanks to Folsom Lake Honda. One-stop Honda shop.
Yes, they are.
They always help us out on the phone lines, a hotline, and thanks to Matt Barrows for joining us earlier. All right, why would we discuss a tennis player's engagement? Well, find out why next. I bring my body, my physical presence. That's what I bring. And my mind.
Why can't we be friends? Why can't we be friends? Why can't we be friends?
I knew none of you knew that. That kind of song. Chorus hits, everybody feels it. Lyrics, no chance.
No chance.
By the way, but early on in this game, Nuggets Heat.
Yes.
If it goes like this, Aaron Gordon's going to average 35 points a game.
He's on fire.
Like layup after layup, bucket after bucket. So far, Miami has absolutely zero answer for Aaron Gordon.
I think I have to give my flowers to Chris & Co. I believe Whitey Gleason said that was going to be the
big
sleeper.
Big Aaron Gordon game?
Yeah.
Really?
He said it was going to be the sleeper of the series.
You know what I think of every time I hear that song? The Simpsons episode where Homer fought Dredrick Tatum, who is basically Mike Tyson. The character is basically a Mike Tyson. spoof, and Frederick Tatum comes out to the ring, and then Homer comes out to the ring, and that's his entrance music.
I think of Lethal Weapon.
Oh, it was in Lethal Weapon, too.
Mm-hmm. I don't know what I think of when I hear that song.
It's a great song. JJ, great job on the ones and twos today. Appreciate you.
Excellent.
Awesome job.
You say that when he plays the song that you requested.
No, it was a great way to end. For the last segment, it's a perfect song for all of our positivity today, Nick.
Listen, that's not
positivity.
Not my point, Chuchi. What I'm saying is, JJ's been playing great music all day. But Rami waits until he plays the song that he requested.
Well,
and then he's like, great job, JJ.
It's the
because
end
it's
of
the end
show.
Of the show that I would give him credit for his body
you.
Of
I'm
work
you,
over
dog.
The last 4 hours.
So you cannot credit JJ on anything until the very end of the show.
I have throughout the show. I just threw it out there again. Great job. I've said it earlier in the show.
Thank you. Let's run through some reaction. We were talking about Stephen A. earlier. Text line 916-339-1140. I hate Stephen A. Thanks. Well, you're welcome. We were talking about the A's and John Fisher's idea.
I have a love-hate thing with Steve. Sometimes he's really good and entertaining.
Yeah, sometimes he is entertaining.
It's over the top.
But if you like, but I don't watch him a lot, right? So I take him in doses.
Same.
I can't imagine watching him all of the time.
He's pro wrestling. He's cutting promos. You know what I mean?
We're not going to get into that.
Giannis at the gumbo. Why?
I just got the gumbo. We were talking about John Fisher earlier and this idea of him having 4 o'clock first pitches for home games if they move to Vegas.
Great idea.
Text line, how many Vegas tourists, because, you know, he's thinking of tourists, how many tourists are sober and awake by 4? Fair question.
That is a fair question.
Not as many who are either sober or awake at, like, 8 p.m. or 10 a.m.
Everything about this is just, every idea you hear about this just gets worse. Like, it keeps getting worse.
Yeah, it's absolutely not getting any better. Absolutely not getting any better. More reaction. Text line. We were talking about starting a band. And text line, Rami needs more cowbell.
I could play the cowbell.
Could you?
I could definitely play the cowbell.
Okay, we're working on this.
Tambourine, triangle, cowbell.
JJ and I are on percussion.
Something in that neighborhood.
Simone's got the keys.
Yeah, I can do a little vocals.
I mean, I'm going to do the vocals too.
Yeah.
Simone and I can both front the band,
absolutely.
Can't we?
We're talking about instruments right now.
Right.
Damn you people.
My voice is my instrument.
Exactly.
Thank you, Simone.
Yep, thank you.
We're on the same page.
I know.
Thank everybody, really. Just
thank you all.
Thank the world.
Thank everyone.
Every single one of you walking right now and living and breathing, thank you.
I appreciate everybody.
Every single one of you.
Yes.
Whatever you do, whoever you are.
All of you.
Appreciation and love.
Thank you.
I wasn't sure if you wanted to keep going or not. Felt like, by the way, I am stressed out. I am stressed out today.
You need to focus. We got 5 minutes left in the show.
Bam Adebayo misses a 10-foot half hook.
Are you DVRing? Are you going to go home and start it from the beginning? I'm torn.
I think Kelly just DVR'd it for me. What a terrible foul that was by Jamal Murray. I think Kelly is DVRing it for me from Florida because I forgot to DVR it. So I just asked her in the G-chat if she could handle that via phone. Mm. She said, yeah.
Nice.
But I'm a little stressed out because
about what?
Tonight's a busy night, man. Like,
what do you got going? Kelly's except out, for the ham steak.
Kelly's out of town. There's a lot of moving pieces here.
What are you having with the ham steak,
you
by
know?
The way?
Corn and I answered that earlier. Corn and broccoli.
Oh yeah, that's right.
And,
okay.
But I'm like, I gotta get home, gotta make dinner, gotta take care of the dog, feed her, take her for a walk. I gotta make my lunch for tomorrow because I have no time in the morning to make the lunch. So I gotta make the lunch for tomorrow. I gotta work out. I've got a
workout tonight.
Yeah.
What are we doing? What do we got lined up?
Nothing exciting. Okay. I'm starting from scratch.
All right.
Trying to get the core going.
Okay.
The last few weeks.
It's good. Good place to start.
A little bit of a workout action going on. Got to keep an eye on the NBA finals. I got to put the dishes away. It's a lot
going
on.
Oh my God. He's going to lose it.
There's a lot going on.
But you can do a lot of that while you watch the game, right? A lot of this stuff is stuff you can do while you watch a game.
The dinner part, yes.
Dinner, putting away the dishes?
Yeah, the lunch part and the dishes, yes.
Fixing
stuff in the kitchen, absolutely.
Lunch, yeah.
We got the open floor plan so
right.
I can be in the kitchen and look directly at the
TV.
Yeah,
that's what I was thinking. You got this.
Friends call me Slick Nick.
Slick Nick's got this.
This is day six without Kelly, okay?
That's tough.
I don't even want to think about what day like 20 would look like.
I feel aww, for you, buddy.
I would be...
Yeah, nothing condescending to say to that.
I would be making nothing but peanut butter and jelly sandwiches every day.
I made a PB&J last night.
By week two.
On a bagel.
Next week. By next week. Well, peanut butter and jelly, it's, on a bagel, of course.
Good.
On a bagel?
Oh, yeah, you've
now,
never had that.
Now, me and Jay just shot each other a look.
You've never had peanut butter and jelly on a bagel?
I haven't.
Good. It was real good. Was
that's like a go-to.
It was a late-night snack.
I have that more than the cream cheese.
Really?
Really?
Yeah.
No, I just didn't have any bread in the house.
All right, let's talk about this tennis player's engagement.
Yes. Because I'm angry.
And by the way, Eric Lewis is NBA ref with the burner account, allegedly, as Max Schuss misses a wide open corner three.
Mm-hmm.
Every open shot, I'm going to be mad. So Eric Lewis has been benched for the NBA Finals, so he will not be involved in this series.
Good.
Aaron Gordon, another bucket within 2 feet. He's going to average like 40. So let's get to this tennis engagement. Jack Baer from Yahoo wrote about this. Two-time Grand Slam champion Garbiñe Muguruza.
Yes.
Is marrying a man who shot his shot 2 years ago. The backstory is something you don't often see in professional athletes' lives here. As Muguruza. Muguruza? I don't know.
Muguruza?
Muguruza.
Sure.
Let's go with Muguruza.
All right.
Muguruza told Hola Spain last week. She first met Borges. I don't have his first name, which is her. Aaron Gordon, another bucket. Which is her
now fiance.
Her now fiance. Mm-hmm. Met Borges when he asked for a selfie as a fan on the street in New York City during the 2021 U.S. Open. Quote, my hotel was close to Central Park and I was bored, so I thought I should go for a walk. I go out and I run into him on the street. Suddenly he turns and says, good luck at the U.S. Open. I was left thinking, wow, he's so handsome. The pair apparently continued to meet each other from there and started spending more time together, often with walks around Central Park.
Man, I'm so tired of tall, handsome dudes just not having to try. You know what I mean? This guy had to ask for a selfie and tell her good luck in the Grand Slam, and that was all it took. They're engaged 2 years later. What is it with tall dudes? I don't. Simone, maybe you can help me out here.
I'll try.
What is it about height that is so... is so valued in the dating world.
I mean, maybe I'm a bad candidate because I don't discriminate, but I mean, something to look up to, something you can climb. That's all I'll say.
I think we'll stop the conversation right there. I don't think we need to go further.
I've said for a while now, height.
Great job, Nate.
Height, two or 3 points on the 1 to 10 scale.
Becoming just, really good at that, working with them.
Automatically. It's 2 or 3 points on the 1 to 10 scale. Just if you're 6 foot or over.
Well, here's the thing. Denver up 9 in the first quarter, 27-18. They've scored 27 points. There's still 2.5 minutes left. Here's the thing. This guy's also a model.
Yeah.
Okay? Like, can we just, so whether he was 6'3 or 5'9.
I'm just tired of tall, handsome dudes not having to try.
Well,
they just don't even have to try.
I get what you're saying. Handsome is one thing. I just want to make sure that people know he is a model. This is not like a, oh, what a great story. This normal dude just ran into this professional tennis player.
No, this won't happen to any of us. This will never happen to one of us.
No.
Average looking, average height dudes.
I'm not tall. I'm not a model. But I mean, guess good for him.
Makes me mad.
This is us.
Oh, it is.
Our outro song today, fellas.
JJ, great job through the whole show.
Awesome job, my man.
Throughout.
You too, Simone.
Nick,
Simone, average today.
Whatever.
Nick, you were great.
Rami, good stuff.
Thank you.
Back tomorrow on a Friday. I'm sure it'll be much more focused on a Friday.
I really got low down.
I almost came to tears right there.
It's like just a great song. Man, it really is. This gives me all the feels, this song.
You can't help but sway back and forth when you hear this song.
Yeah, I'm done. Talk tomorrow.
Just makes you want to lean on somebody.
It does.
Wait.
Just call on me, brother, when you need a hand. We all need somebody to lean on. I just might have a brother that you'd understand.
We all need somebody to lean on.